You're on.
Hello, beautiful women and sisters in Christ, and just in prayer for, since I was asked to do this, has been overwhelming, knowing what to say, what not to say, not in a good or bad way, just, you know, what is it that the Lord wants me to say? What is it that somebody needs to hear? And I'm a crybaby too. only when I'm talking about God and the Lord and what He's done in my life, I get overwhelmed with emotion. And so, y'all will have to deal with that. Because it'll be pause, you know. But in this song, you know, the Lord reminds us, you know, what He's done for us. And when I heard you say, Kim, that, you know, He told you, if it was just you, I would have still just died for you. I don't understand still how someone can love us that much, because we're not worthy. I'm not. And for all the years that I felt like He chased after me, I felt after I become saved, I'm like, man, why did I waste all that time trying to run from Him? You know, because I didn't know how wonderful it was going to be. Because I did run from Him for a long time when people were trying to tell me who He was and what He had to offer. And, you know, I'm one of those people who said, well, I'm not a bad person. You know, I don't do bad things. But then after I got saved, I'm like, yes, you were. You still do bad things. But my parents were alcoholics. It wasn't a horrible home setting. You know, it wasn't one of those tragedy things. But they didn't take us to church. But they did insist that we go with the lady down the street to an old country Baptist church. And I think there is where I met God, but never really knew who He was. Because they would ask if you wanted prayer, and you could go up. And, you know, at the Baptist church, every Sunday it was loud, and, you know, you're either going to go to hell if you don't, you know, confess. And so I would go up there, and they would pray with me, and I would feel emotional. And I was just a little kid, probably 7 to 9 or 10. And so in reflecting back after I get saved, you never thought about any of it till after you think about those times when you were there and these people prayed for you. And then I'm like, okay, God was preparing me. And then He put me in the path of women, beautiful women like you ladies here, whom I was just 16 when He put them in my path, and I wasn't a Christian. I mean, I was like, yeah, I know God, I know who He is, but I didn't really know who He was, and these beautiful women tried to tell me who He was, but I was 16, and, you know, and again, I'm not a bad person, you know, I'm just, you know, normal like everybody else, but I wasn't, and these women never gave up on me. They loved me, they encouraged me during my 15 years with them, because it was at a place where I worked. I got married at the age of 17. Neither one of us were Christians, but they instilled in me things that would be beautiful as a Christian later. How to respect your husband. You know, things like that, that was not a part of my household when I grew up. It was not anything like that. You don't, there was just screaming and yelling and, you know, things that I didn't want to be a part of, but didn't know how to get away from. But these women loved on me and encouraged me. And I was married. We weren't Christians, so years go by. And people still were trying to love us into knowing who Christ was. But we didn't want to have anything to do with it. And we did things that we're not proud of. You know, we were young, and we did drugs, and that's bad enough. So, but we did things that we know were not pleasing to God. which kept us away from him because we thought we could never be good enough or anything. And then during this time, I know in my heart that God already held me here because I was protected so many times from things that it could have been so much worse in my life. And I have to go backwards because when I was 16, well, my parents were divorced years before that, but I was forced to go live with my dad, which I didn't want to do. And when I was 16, and then I didn't really know who God was, but I knew that there he was there somewhere. So I sat at a window at night and begged God to send someone into my life that would love me. And I was asking for a husband, you know, and now I know that he was wanting me to take him, which I didn't. But he did send me a husband. He sent me a beautiful man. And I asked, you know, I want someone who doesn't party and drink and go hang out with their friends. And I told Jerry yesterday, I forgot to ask for someone who didn't do drugs, you know, because he didn't drink. He's never had a drink in his life, and he's not a partier. He didn't go out. He wasn't a womanizer or anything, but, you know, he did drugs. So he's not going to really like the fact, if he ever hears this, that I said that. But so that was our life. You know, I mean, God brought this man, and I made promises that night that I never kept. That if he brought someone who would love me and protect me and provide for me, that I would do all these things that I never did for him. So then as our years, we grow in our marriage and we do live the worldly life and we take a trip to New York. Well, before that, there were lots of things that God was trying to use to get us to come to him. Through illnesses. I'm a breast cancer survivor over 20 years. We got married in 1981. In 1994, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Then, 2 years after I had recovered from breast cancer, I was told that I couldn't have kids, that I needed a hysterectomy. And I wanted babies. I really wanted babies. So I feel like Sarah and Rachel. And I didn't know who these people were then. And I didn't know to pray for God to heal me so that I could have that. So I didn't. And so we didn't have kids. I had to have a hysterectomy. And right after that, that was 1996, 97. In 1999, we got saved. And it was beautiful. It took us to go to, we went to New York to visit some friends who, when we knew them, they weren't saved. They were just like us. And they didn't have care, you know, their whole life goal was to race cars and make money and do what you want to do and have fun. And we went to visit them and they never wanted to get, they had been living together for over 13 years and never wanted to get married. And so as soon as we knew that they wanted to get married, we're like, well, something's changed. They're not normal. What has happened to their life? Well, someone asked them to come to Calvary Chapel, Rochester, mm-hmm. New York, and they went and they got saved. Mm-hmm. So when they invited us there, they, you know, asked us to go to church with them, and we did. And I had been, again, I'm sorry, I have to go back. I had asked the Lord to change our lives, even though I wasn't a Christian. I was still calling out to him, asking him to do something, Lord. I don't want to be in this life. I don't want to do drugs. I don't want to sell drugs. I don't want this life. I want more, and I know there's something more out there. And he did. We got arrested. So in between this and going to New York and being introduced to the Lord, we got arrested, and it was good. And when I told my husband what I prayed, he's like, so it's your fault that we got arrested. And I'm like, hey, all I did was ask him to change our lives. I didn't ask to go to jail. I didn't ask to go to jail. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. But it happened, and then we got introduced to the Lord, and then I knew that that is why. He wanted us to see that this is what your life could be. This is what your life is going to be. This is what you could have. And I accepted right away. And was amazed at this feeling, and I didn't know what was going on. And everybody went to bed, and there was these Bibles on the coffee table and all these books and everything. And so I just was intrigued. So I'm just picking them up, trying to figure out what's going on. I have this feeling inside of me, and I can't explain it. And my husband's like, you're not going to force me. I'm not doing it. So I accepted the Lord. We went home, came back to Texas, and my husband did accept the Lord within a few days. Mm-hmm. And we found a Calvary Chapel, and then we started Arlington, and we went there for a few years, and it was great, and we had Bible studies at our house and everything. And then the enemy started trying to lie. Well, he was lying about how could I be loved. You know, if he really loved you, you would have been able to have kids, and you waited too long to love the Lord, so this is your punishment. You don't get to have babies. You don't get to have these beautiful things that you really wanted. You know, so I felt overwhelmed. And until this weekend, I really, honestly didn't realize that that's why for 6 years, after we were saved for 3, we sort of walked in the desert, not belonging anywhere. We didn't walk away from our family at Arlington. We still loved them, and they still reached out to us, and we still had fellowship together, but we didn't go there regularly, and we were reaching out to all these other churches. We wanted a church at Irving, but there wasn't one, because we visited almost everyone in Irving, and they were like, when we would walk in, we would walk out trying to run away, you know, because it's like, you know, there's nothing godly. I don't know. They're not teaching the Bible. I'm not sure what they're doing. So we were just trying to run. But that's how the enemy kept us at bay from growing. And so we did continue to pray for a church in Irving. And when Pastor Ed and Melissa came, Pastor Carrie and Kara called us and said, we have a couple here from San Antonio that want to start a church in Irving. Please, you know, come and visit them and come meet them because they're here. So we did. And since that moment that we met them, my husband and I, our lives have changed tremendously. In the last almost 5 years, we've grown more than all the years that we've been a Christian. All the years that we've known the Lord, we never knew Him this way. But it was our hearts and we didn't open ourselves up to be the servant, to be all that He has for us, because we are weak. And I wanted to read one only script. I wrote a bunch of stuff down, but it's still there back there somewhere. But one scripture, because of how I felt about not having kids. Once I truly started seeking a relationship with Him, I knew that it was a beautiful thing. And I accepted that we were never going to have kids, and we both love kids so much. We have so many kids in our life. My brother has like 8 kids, and they all got kids, and you know, so we're surrounded by a bunch of little kids who are all grown now, going to have babies. I'll be a great great aunt. Psalms 113:9, it says, He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. And that makes me love God so much for not giving me the ability to have children. Accepting that was His, He has a purpose. And He did. So I know y'all have heard me say something about grandbaby. I should have a grandbaby, you know. No, I'm not married. After Pastor Ed and Melissa came and we were growing, and the enemy was, you know, trying to interfere in our life and just throwing all these things at us. But we were stronger, and we knew that they were lies and that he had a purpose. And we got a phone call, and we started fostering a 16-year-old girl who we knew, but we lost contact with her when she was 9. We had no idea that she had been in foster care from the time she was 9, 16, in and out, runaway, on the streets. And we knew her personally. And we got a call asking us if we wanted to have contact with her. We said yes. She was currently in a lockup facility. And I will hopefully pray that someday she'll be able to tell you her testimony. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think any of us could ever say that we had any kind of bad life compared to some people. Mm-hmm. And what they endure. I'm sorry. Anyway, so we had contact with her. We visited her every 3 weeks. We drove to San Antonio and visited her until she came home with us. And this was a test beyond any test that we'd ever had. A teenager. And then she left. We were going to adopt. She left. She got pregnant. We were still in contact. But when she went to the hospital to have the baby, she came home with us. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to still be adopted. She asked us. We said yes. And I was thinking, you know, God really has a sense of humor, you know. You can't have babies, but here you're going to get a 16-year-old, and she's going to be here, and you're going to love her, and then she's going to go away, and then she's going to come back, and she's going to say, I want you to be my parents. And so she was on her way to being 18. She was still 17, and she came, and it was basically New Year's Day, because JC was born on December 30th, the baby. And when she came home, we did everything possible with CPS and everybody so that we could get her, Chrissy, adopted as our daughter before she turned 18. We had 2 weeks from the time she asked and everything. And so then we had a daughter, and who gave us a grandbaby. The grandbaby went to the adoption with us. You know, everybody thought we were adopting this baby. We're like, no, we're adopting her. You know, and they're like, what? They thought we were, you know. But I just want you to know how great God is. And this rags to riches is truly what we all are. And we can choose to put on the beautiful clothes that he gives us, or we can choose to walk around in rags. And I think we all put them on and take them off. And I think of how glorious it will be someday when we don't have to worry about taking them off or putting them on, because we'll be in a glorified body forever. But I feel truly blessed from all the years, the protections, everything. And now I have a baby because our daughter walked away. And we have a grandbaby, a daughter. You know, we're raising her. And she's 2. And she's beautiful. And like, again, I think God has a sense of humor, because we're in our 50s. And we have a baby, you know. But then I think of Sarah, you know, and them. It's, God's like, it's not what you have planned, it's what I have planned for you. In my perfect timing, not yours. And so, that's my testimony. And I love all of y'all, and I'm going to pray, so I'll be quiet. Lord, I thank you that you gave me the courage to stand up here and tell what you have done in my life. I look forward to what you have planned in the future. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of these women sitting here today can believe that regardless of what obstacles are in their path, that you have a plan and a purpose, and we're not supposed to doubt or have fear or even question what you give us or what you don't give us, because you have a reason, and we may not ever know what it is for the things that you don't give us. And there's no reason sometimes for what you give us at the time we think that we're not ready for it. But thank you, God, for sisters in Christ and for opportunities to share and to listen to the other women who gave their testimonies. I'm so grateful. And we just thank you and pray that you bless the rest of this time here together, that you would protect our hearts from the enemy who wants to lie and destroy joy and make us see things that aren't there, feel things that aren't there, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes and our hearts focused on you forever, even in our moments of weaknesses, Lord. As sisters in Christ, help us to stand with them as they struggle. And I pray that there would always be somebody there for anyone here who is struggling for something that they need that they don't want to speak. Because we know that you, Lord, use us, even though we know or think that we're not worthy of being used. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me get this.